Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers. Go to jameshbrown.com.
Leafs just killed off a penalty. Still 0-0. Boston-Toronto, 5.5 minutes left in the second period. It's been a tense one. NBA tonight, Knicks lead the 76ers 33-22 in the final minute of the first quarter. The Knicks trying to advance in Game 6 there. The Pacers have advanced with a Game 6 win, 120-98 over Milwaukee. That is the NBA playoffs. Blue Jays did not play today in Major League Baseball. 780-496-0063 is, my Twitter poll. I'm sure people are on the edge of their seats. Who is the Oilers' unsung hero in round one? 953 votes. Desharnais has the lead. Kulak second, then CeCe, then Janmark. Thought they were all good. You can go to my Twitter account to vote if you're interested. 780-496-0063 is how you get in touch with the program here. Kellen, let's keep going with the audience feedback.
For sure. Michael has his worry pants on. He's texted in and says that he's really disappointed that the Oilers weren't able to put the Kings on their heels in the first period last night. I'm worried that against better teams, we'll see the old problem of the Oilers falling behind early in games.
I would grant Michael that it would have been great to see more out of the Oilers in the first period, especially given how the previous game had gone. I guess I would also say to Michael is that the LA Kings are still a really good team, and they're trying pretty hard too, just like the Oilers are. And sometimes the Oilers' opponent might get their way in a game. You can quibble about things. You can critique the victory. That's fine. We can talk about it. But, I mean, the Oilers still won the series. They still figured it out last night, even though, yes, it was not a great first period, and the Oilers, probably should have been down. But again, David Riddick led in an absolutely horrible goal to Evander Kane. So, yeah, I mean, people will have their worry pants on, especially in the postseason. I get it.
CeCe texts in and says, Reed, what the heck is up with the refs in the faceoff circle? Talk about power trip. They have wasted so much of my time, especially with the late games already. Why has that got so bad? That's from CeCe.
I don't know the answer to that. Probably a rhetorical question there. It was bad last night, especially. What did Draisaitl get thrown out? 5 times in the first two periods? Maybe in the first half of the game? I'll try to remember to ask Leon about it tomorrow, though I don't know if he's going to want to say much. I mean, it's over and done with. But that was noticeable last night. And I would think if it's the same player over and over again, there'd be a conversation off to the side or during a TV timeout where the linesman would say, look, I'm enforcing this tonight, so you got to figure it out. Or Leon would say, I don't know why you're throwing me out because I feel like I'm doing this, or something along those lines. But for sure, it was odd last night. And other players got thrown out, too, but it seemed to happen a lot to Draisaitl.
That seems to have opened up an entire line of questioning quickly on the text line here. We got Kevin texting in, just basically says, drop the puck stripes. Easy for me to say.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Dino Bambino texts in and says, what exactly causes a player to be thrown out of the faceoff circle in the first place?
Well, just early, early movement or refusing to line up properly, things like that, yeah.
Okay, and we got Lenny and Lendrum texting in, says, hi, Reed. I don't get to chatter that the Kings were as good as the Oilers 5-on-5 in the series. By my count, the Kings got 5 very lucky or unusual goals. The Oilers maybe had 1 lucky goal. The Oilers were unlucky in the series and still won in 5 games. If they keep playing like that, they are, and the hockey gods shine on them a bit more, they will be very hard to beat. That's Lenny in Lendrum.
We could probably do a whole show or shows on luck and or good fortune in games and sports and how people look at it. I do think in terms of I think he used the word unusual. I think the game one goal where CeCe's stick broke and went straight to, I think Moore was involved in that play. That was an unusual play. Good fortune. Kings still have to execute and score. The puck off the glass right in front of the net to LaFerriere. Yeah, I mean, there's some good fortune there, but you also have to have the player going to the net in the spot to get the puck and cash it in. I mean, the Kings had three kind of lucky slash strange goals in game one. Couple went in off the skates of Oilers defensemen. I mean, I guess you could say Hyman's goal last night was maybe a little lucky. Nuge tips it off the post right to Hyman, who tucked it in. I think in hockey there's always going to be bounces and luck, though I'd like to believe that the team that is playing hard and is in the right place will get rewarded. I mean, you could say, oh, it bounced to him right in front of the net. Well, the player had to be right in front of the net, though. He had to get there. He had to earn that territory to make it count. I guess if you want to break down each goal, maybe you could say, well, you probably could say, I suppose, LA had more unusual goals in the series. But again, it did, to me, that's just something else you have to overcome. You might not have every bounce go your way. You still got to figure it out. You can't say, oh, they got a fluky goal. Guess we're going to lose. And I think that's something I liked from the Oilers is that, you know, maybe everything didn't go their way, but they never really wilted. They never really dropped back and were, you know, panicking or were really on the back heel for an extended period of time. Do we have time for one more, Kellen, or we
got
to go?
Yep, I got a quick one here from Spaceman who texts in, and I think this is a good one to leave this off with. Says, hey, Reed, what do you think the Oilers are doing right now with their victorious night off?
Whatever they want. Mm-hmm. They do practice tomorrow at 11, so I doubt they're doing too much, but hopefully relaxing. I imagine some guys are watching this game. I imagine they'll watch Nashville and Vancouver tomorrow. Okay, we'll break down the Winnipeg Jets playoff exit with Kelly Moore when we get back.
This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on Edmonton Sports Leader 630 Chad.
Just over a minute left in the second period. We still do not have a goal in Game 6 between the Maple Leafs and the Bruins. That is the only game in the National Hockey League tonight. As I mentioned, Oilers will practice tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow night we'll find out their first or their second-round opponent, but maybe it'll go to Game 7 between Vancouver and Nashville. The Winnipeg Jets eliminated in 5 games. Couldn't keep up with the Colorado Avalanche. To break it down from CJOB in Winnipeg, the one and only. Oh, the Leafs just scored. Hang on. We got a goal. Just hold Kelly for a second. We got a goal. 54.8 seconds left
Nylander,
in the second
I think.
Period. Yeah, look, I think he tipped it. So Toronto up 1-0 on Boston. Okay. Kelly Moore, welcome back to Inside Sports. How are you doing?
Well, not as good as you are, Reader. Not as good as you are. You're on to round two, and we're, we can't even golf today.
Oh, my goodness. Is it snowing? It snowed here a couple days ago.
It's raining. But but today was the proverbial garbage bag day, exit day, however you want to label it. But I'll tell you one thing that was kind of uplifting, Reed, was today the members of the Winnipeg Jets we spoke to, and there were many of them, and the recurring theme was the honesty and the transparency in which they responded to questions about their quick ouster by the Colorado Avalanche. It's always kind of been vague, the answers and that sort of thing. They are taking it all on themselves. So it was really different, and Rick Bowness regarded that as a step forward, growth, not the kind of growth, you know, they would have much preferred growth being, you know, get to the second round, get to the third round, but I guess when you're looking for progress, you'll look for ways. But I think this is legitimate here.
I'll throw this one at you because, man, I thought they were going to win this series, and it certainly didn't last very long. What's a key or two as to why the Avalanche won in five?
The Avalanche were just better. Better in every single area. They played with more intensity and with more pace. And it wasn't close, Reed. And the Winnipeg Jets players will tell you that. There were only small pockets, rather, where we saw, you know, fragments of what this team looked like during the regular season. I mean, it defies logic that a team that allowed the fewest goals against, that won the Jennings Trophy, could get lit up to the degree that it did. 28 goals against. Now, sure, four of them were into empty nets, but 28 goals against in five games. And, you know, clearly the power play was certainly a big factor, just like it was for the Oilers against the Los Angeles Kings. But I would say pace, intensity, and calmness. That was one of the things that the players talked a lot about today that they really noticed with Colorado. When things weren't going well for them, Colorado didn't even blink an eyelash. They just kept doing what they were doing.
It seems Hellebuck, and you mentioned all the goals against, he kind of said, gee, I thought I played pretty well. What exactly did he say, and what do you make of what he said?
Yeah, I asked him about that today, and how I framed the question, Reed, was, you know, Connor, you're a guy that really is details-oriented. And so, you know, if you scrape away those unflattering stats, I think if memory serves me correct, it was 523, 870 for the saves percentage, 523 on the goals against average. So scrape those away. And, you know, and how do you think you performed? And he said, well, you're not going to believe this, but I thought I played as well as I ever have. And then, you know, and then he went on to talk about how there were a lot of pucks he just didn't see. And, you know, whether it was eyeball test read or whether it was analytics, they both synced up. You know, Hellebuck had a great series. He was, again, Winnipeg's best player. But he even couldn't stem the tide. And I thought something really important that he shared, and he's not a guy that does this a lot. This was what made today kind of refreshing in an otherwise completely disappointing set of circumstances. And he said, he singled out game four. He said he had built it up in his mind that he was going to have to steal a game. In his words, he was laser focused for game four, even more than he usually is. And this guy's always dialed in. But he had it in his mind that he had to steal a game. So when he got yanked after the second period, giving up the four goals, he came to the realization, he said, there were a lot of emotions that had been just kind of simmering below the surface, you know, throughout this series that just all of a sudden overwhelmed him. And then he realized right then and there that, listen, man, you can't be the lone savior. You're a member of this hockey club. And so for the hockey club to be successful, you've got to be part of that, but not all of it. And I thought that was really, really interesting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rick Bowness, he talked a bit about his future as well. I believe he still has a term left on his contract. Correct me
no,
if
he
I'm
does
wrong.
Not. No.
Oh, he's done. Hey, sorry, he's done. Okay.
No. Well, here's how it works, Reed. There is an option for a third year. So you're not incorrect in saying there's term, but it's a club option.
Okay.
But Rick, and you know, I am not comfortable in speculating on others' feelings and what others have said. So all I'm going to tell you is what we heard, and I'll leave everybody else to figure out because what they think that means. But Rick said for the last 7 years, he and his wife, Judy, and his kids have had a chat about what they're going to do for the following year. And he said that chat has been had. He knows what he's going to do, but he hasn't spoken yet to general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, nor has he spoken yet to owner Mark Chipman. And those conversations have to be had. Then it'll all come out. So interpret that however you would like. You know, there were times where he referred to we as in the future. I don't know what you pick up on that or not, but that's basically how he spoke You know, one of the things that we did ask him was, you know, if you're not prepared to talk about year three, let's look back on what you've accomplished since you came here in July of 2022. And, you know, and what he spoke about. And it's not, you know, it's out there. So people know that, you know, there was a culture issue in the dressing room that had to be cleaned up. And he feels that's, you know, that mission rather has been accomplished. And I truly believe it does. Otherwise, you know what, Reed, if that mission hadn't been accomplished, I don't know that we hear the honesty and the transparency that we heard today.
Kelly Moore from CGOB in Winnipeg joining us tonight at Inside Sports. Nonetheless, you know, two consecutive five-game exits.
It goes deeper than that, Reed.
Well, I'm just thinking back the last 2 years. And this has always been like a good, deep regular season team with great goaltending.
Yeah.
I know Wheeler left, but they locked up a couple other big guys leading into the season. But do they need to overhaul stuff or do they need to stay the course? Like, how do you look at this now?
Yeah, I think they really have to take a long, hard look at roster composition. And do they have a real good, solid, contending regular season team that can get into the playoffs? But is that all it is? Is it a team that cannot go any further than that because they're just not built for playoff success? And everybody I spoke with, Reed, it's not just here in the Winnipeg market. You know, everybody said, you know, watch out for the Winnipeg Jets, other than the unnamed person that spoke on Spit and Chicklets and said they were a playoff fraud. They'd be out quickly in the first round. And while whoever that player from a Western Conference team who spoke with Ryan Whitney he certainly had it figured out a lot more than the rest of us. But everybody I talked to all said that the Winnipeg Jets were a team that were built for playoff success. So that's what's real head-scratching. So that job is Kevin Cheveldayoff's. He's going to have to try to figure that out. With this hockey club, I still think that they can become the hockey club that they want to be at playoff time internally, but not in the present composition. I think that they are going to have to make some changes. I think they're going to have to bring in some young people. The one thing that they don't have, that the two teams that you would consider to be the favorites, you know, to come out of the Western Conference, and it's the team that you're covering, and also I think it's the Colorado Avalanche. No disrespect to the Vegas Golden Knights, Vancouver, Nashville, or certainly the Dallas Stars who are still in it. But, you know, when they have players who are of superstar, true superstar caliber, you know, like Connor McDavid, like Leon Draisaitl, like Nate MacKinnon, like Cale Makar, and then they have an incredible supporting cast who are just as committed. That if you don't have that, it's hard to beat. And so I think, you know, the Jets have to look at things realistically and how do they beat those teams? And that's where they have to get to. So whether they can do that, for as long as McDavid and Draisaitl are playing at the level they are, and ditto MacKinnon and Makar, I'm not sure what the answer is, Reed. I really am.
Well, we'll see if they can answer it right. The journey continues for the Jets. Okay.
Yeah, but at least have some success. You know, the other thing I was going to mention, Reed, too, when I say it goes deeper than this, you know, they have what I call the Central Six here. You know, they have Mark Scheifele, Kyle Connor, Adam Lowry, and Nikolai Ehlers up front, Josh Morrissey on defense, and Connor Hellebuck between the pipes. And if you go back to the start of the 2018 Western Conference Final against the Vegas Golden Knights, you know, they have won once. They've won once after a playoff loss. Just once. You know, and they are 0 for their last six elimination game scenarios. You know, so it's not a small sample size. It is when you think of it, well, you know, you only get to, you know, a couple of kicks at the kitty during a playoff series before it can go sideways on you. But that's a long time to not be able to figure it out.
Well, and the only team they've beaten since they made the West Final was the Oilers in that series. And then, of course,
it's a COVID-type series. It's a totally different set of circumstances. It is, for sure. The record books will show they swept the Oilers, 4-1 goal decisions, three of them in overtime. The first game there was a couple of empty netters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, in my mind, that's a one goal game. Just in terms of under normal circumstances, there's just been a whole lot of lack of success. And the only way you can call it is failure. And today, the players were meeting that failure head on.
Kelly, thanks for meeting this segment head on. It's always great to have you on the show. I know a busy day for you, but I wanted to put a wrap here on the Jets season. Thanks a lot for checking in, my friend.
You bet, yeah. And I tell you, all the best for the Edmonton Oilers. Give it a good run to end that drought since 93.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.